You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Atlanta, Season 3, Episode 9, Rich Wigger, Poor Wigger, is over, but we are just getting started on Atlanta, a post-show recap. I'm Chappelle, and I'm back in the driver's seat to cover this thought-provoking episode of Atlanta, and with me, as usual, back in action, my co-pilot, who needed a break last week, but is back, Mari Ford. Mari, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Definitely needed a break. I got tired of holding the show on my back. But you and LaTanya, of course, did amazing. I hope we can get the whole gang back together for the finale, but we'll see. But another one, just another one, I feel like same old shit again. Like, Donald Glover, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you not tired? Y'all ain't tired? Yeah, I'm tired. I watched the episode and I text Mari, like, do I have to watch this again? She's like, yes. Like, first she was like, no. I said, good, you're taking over. She's like, no, you got it. Watch it again. So yes. I was like, God dang, man, this was exhausting. I mean, it was exhausting to watch, but then it's exhausting to watch again. And it's exhausting kind of to talk about, you know, and I'm not complaining, like, we don't want a podcast about this, but like, to know that we have to talk about this, explain the episode, and explain some of the nuance for the people who might not be familiar. Yeah, but then also not water it down too much to where it's like inauthentic to the experience, you know, but like also make it to where people can understand it, because I feel like the way Donald Glover presented it, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered for probably the uninitiated. Don't you think, Mari?
I agree. I think it's like, it's not a bad feeling. It's like, this is truly like really good TV. Like, this is incredible TV to me. It's perfect. The surrealism, we've been talking about it for the whole season, and the type of discussions and hard issues that he keeps presenting episode after episode after episode. That's what we're tired of. We're like, why are you making us think so much, Donald? What's going on? And that's the biggest thing. But it is like really amazing to watch, and you know, like, even, you know, put this in a little time capsule for our feelings and our interpretations of this season. So just mind-boggling.
Right. And before we get into the episode, I do want to give a shout out to our listeners. Y'all have been so supportive, and we see the comments in the Discord, and we love the conversations people are having. So again, if you haven't subscribed to Post Show Recaps or became a patron on patreon.com/postshowrecaps, then go do so. So you can join the conversation as well. We also have some reviews, Mari, a couple 5-star reviews. One from Summer, you know, Summer's back, Summer down now. And it says, a wonderful companion podcast. So Atlanta is going hard this season. The We Got Y'all crew handles both the comedy and important issues with insight, humor, and understanding. I've learned so much about Black historical contents from LaTanya, Mari, and Chappelle. If this were a college course, I'd take it twice. So we really appreciate that, Summer. Also, we got some feedback from TJ Hookie. Says, love the insight you are all giving, especially given the change of the show this season. Please keep the crew together for other shows. Love hearing your insight and thoughtful conversations about the Black experience. So again, thank y'all. And I don't know what's in store for Mari and myself and LaTanya after this. I mean, we got one more episode of Atlanta to talk about, maybe the We Got Y'all crew will reunite again for something else in the future. Did you see that happening, Mari?
Yeah, I can. Even as we're sitting here like, okay, another Sunday, and then it'll be kind of weird not coming back to talk to you about some black ass shit. So
yeah. No, that's right. We've been doing this for a while now. We got a couple in the chamber now, so it's like, well, what's next? Yeah. So maybe in the next podcast, we'll ask people what black ass shit do they want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Mari, should that be the name of the Black Post Show Recaps feed? Black ass shit recapped.
I mean, Josh would.
We'll talk to Josh. We'll workshop some things. Maybe that's what's coming next. But
our people, Mari, will talk to your people and talk to his people.
Yeah, we'll do the things. But Mari, we have to get into the plight of the light-skinned man and woman on this episode.
Oh, man.
You know, you mind your own business. And in comes, you know, the plight of, you know, the light-skinned person. And so this episode was very much that. And in a way, something that Mari and I do not live. We are not passing in any way. And so this episode is very much a passing episode. This is an episode that is reminiscent of the movie Passing that we've seen on Netflix, that is very popular and critically acclaimed. The Imitation of Life comes to mind as well. And several other shows that basically are shows and movies that, you know, give context to people who are Black but do not appear to be Black. And so that's why we call them passing, because they can walk around in white spaces and pass, you know. And we see this in other cultural spaces as well, you know, where people are like less obviously a part of that community, so they can move throughout the world without having to deal with the same struggles of that community. But it does come with its own inherent struggles as well. And this episode puts that right at the forefront, Mari.
Yeah, it truly does. And it just made me, I was just cracking up watching it, because everything that we kind of touched on in the reparations episode, I was like, oh God, this was like a mini reparations type style episode. It was like, what would you have to do in order to get these reparations? And it was pretty funny to watch, and then to like digest and to really like think about it. So I'm excited to kind of break it down.
Yeah, it's a lot in here, and so I hope y'all are ready, because we're gonna have a good time diving into some of the finer points. First thing I want to point out though, Mari, are you familiar with the main character of this episode? Are you familiar with our actor who plays Aaron?
Tyreek Withers. I am not familiar with him, but the funny thing is, like, the grayscale, I thought it was perfect of them to like shoot it in black and white, so that because if you look at him in person, you can tell he got something in him. He's not as passing in living color as opposed to being in black or white. So the funny thing is, the first couple shots with the Logan Paul stuff and all of the like really weird, you're like, oh God, and then you see him, I was like, oh, you know, I was like, oh, there's something in there. And then it was confirmed when we got the ride to school and all. We'll talk about that. But I was not familiar with the actor, like, off rip. I had to Google him. But I thought, even through the filter, I could tell.
Yeah, see, listeners, there's this thing that certain groups of Black people do, and I am one of them, and Mari is clearly one of them, is that sometimes we be like, you can tell. You're like, when you see somebody who, like, because there are some people, I've talked to certain Black people, and not to say, like, it's a very specific type of person, but you'll run into somebody, and they'll be like, I had no idea that XYZ was Black. And in my head, I'm like, girl, you don't see that that little space right there on their face? You can tell by the bone structure. Like,
right,
OG, exactly. We know, you know. And so I knew. I was like, okay, this is clearly a white passing individual, you know, who is Black. And because Tyreek is actually biracial in real life, and so he's very much a Black person genetically based on his parents, his lineage, but his phenotype is not necessarily a Black person, right? And so For people who need more examples of these passing people, there are plenty of celebrities that they present white, but they also, because of their parents, their lineage, or whatever their makeup is, they've come out so fair-skinned that where they don't have to carry a lot of that with them, like, and walk around like appearing to be a Black person. Nicole Richie comes to mind. Logic as well. Yeah. Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. You know, like, there are so many. Halsey. Yeah, I think Slash as well. Like, there's so many of them where, like, they get accepted in spaces because they appear to be white. But, you know, they could also move in our spaces depending on how accepting your space is. Because, I mean, and now the results may vary. It depends. I mean, but, you know, they can also move in those spaces because of the where they come from as far as, like, their family. And so we get Tariq here. And as Mari said, he's got a lot of, like, the Gen Z white tropes in his bedroom. He's got, like, the Post Malone in there. He's got the Jake Paul stuff in there. And this is so funny to point out, because if this is the Gen Z white, like, blueprint for, you know, 17, 18 year olds, it's like, why? Right? Why is that? And because we're going to explore that later on throughout the episode. What makes you Black? Is it your phenotype? Is it your lineage? Or is it the culture that you subscribe to? And we're very quickly given his culture that he subscribes to, right? Like, the sporting event with a bunch of white people. And yeah, exactly. They try to let you know, like, if culturally this is a white person. Now, whether or not that's accurate or not, that is the scene they're portraying in front of you. So that when you see him, you're like, oh, white guy, right? This all makes sense. He's online playing a shooting game called Flamethrower 2. And then when people start talking trash, he makes it racial, you know? And, you know, and so when he's dropping the hard N-word, I mean, the N-word with the hard R-word, you know, R, you know, yeah, he's doing that. And so you're like, okay, white person. This is a white person. And so culturally, what the show is trying to explain to you is that, like, these are things that you can subscribe to that group of people. But again, once we know later on in the episode, this is not a white person. This is a biracial person who is appearing to be white. And his biggest struggle right now, aside from losing at this video game, is the fact that he needs to get into college. It looks like he's trying to enroll at Arizona State College. ASC. And so, so he falls asleep with that on his mind. So, Mari, what did you think about the opening scene?
I was like, this is why when my husband games, he doesn't put those headphones in, because that's exactly how it be like, you know, the moment, the moment something happens on those games, people start throwing slurs and it's just annoying, you know? And I was just like, okay, so you are who we thought you were with your Logan Paul poster in the back. And I was kind of wondering, did he, when he fell asleep with, like, the ASC screen on his laptop, I couldn't tell, did he even apply? Did he get in? Was he just staring at the homepage? Like, what was happening there?
Yeah, it looks like he was looking at the thought of applying, because he did get the text message from his girlfriend. That she had been accepted. So it looks like he's still contemplating, is this the life from him? And in the next scene, we see him driving to school with his dad, or riding to school with his dad driving. And his dad is a man with a Black phenotype, right? Like, this is clearly the person he got that side of his race from, you know? So he's sitting there in the car, and, you know, the conversation about ASC comes up, but not before this conversation about that's on the radio about a 15-year-old Black boy killed by police in a routine traffic stop. So, like, they start to talk about it. And of course, Aaron, at his young age and with his limited life experience, clearly, he thinks, oh, well, if they just followed orders, this would be fine. The 15-year-old boy was shot by the police because he was reaching for his phone, and the police thought it was a gun. And so they shot him and killed him. And so Aaron's point of view is like, well, if you were doing everything perfectly, you'd be fine. But his dad is trying to remind him that there's no perfect way to act to assure that you are alive, especially when you're Black. There's a lot of things that you just don't understand. And he tells him, your white friends got you confused. And I had a good laugh at that, Mari.
Yeah. And they did a really good job here with how they shot it. With Aaron in the car, we just see Aaron in the car. We hear the news report about the Black boy dying. And then we hear the man talking about it, but we don't see the man yet. But I mean, we knew, when we heard him.
We
knew that was a black man talking. And then the camera slowly pans. We get both of them. And then we get the, you know, well, son, you know, you get the reveal that that's his dad, you know, and that his dad is a black man. And that his black man dad is basically laughing at him because he's like, you will never know these type of struggles. And it was a very, very interesting opening here, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and even the voices, like you said, we knew with the dad's voice, but that was another thing that tipped me off to Tyreek as well. When I heard him talking when he's playing the game, I was like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, like you could try to put on a black scent, but a real one, you can tell. You know, you can tell. If it's rooted in some real culture, you could tell. But yeah, so when he gets to school, him and his friends are talking
I didn't know. The FAFSA thing, man, that was a hard conversation to have because Aaron was trying to tell his dad, like, he wants to enroll in ASC. And his dad was like, well, you know, have you been saving money? And Aaron,
do you
was
have
like,
ASC money?
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, well, I need you to fill out the FAFSA. And his dad's like, I ain't filling out no FAFSA. It's a really hard thing to talk about because it's really sad because, like, this happens in a lot of black communities where, like, if your parents don't fill out that FAFSA, you don't know what you can be entitled to when it comes to grants, like Pell Grants, federal assistance, and all of that. And it's a way that it can keep you out of college, but it's also a way that can get you into college with a lot of debt. So it's like a catch 22 when it comes to like filling out your FAFSAs and stuff like that. It's kind of like a huge deal in the black community. And I just know as somebody who, like, my parents took care of most of my college and definitely made sure that the FAFSA was all taken care of and I got as many grants and all that stuff as possible. Like, I do think it's important if that is the route that people want to go for college, but I also think that there should be some more financial like literacy when it comes to just like signing for loans as well. So I would love if anybody knows any foundations and stuff like that that helps with like financial literacy when it comes to like paying for college and stuff, please let us know and we'll pass it along because I think it's really important that not only like black kids but like college students in general, like we just had a whole bunch of graduations, like congrats to all the graduates for 2022. Like we don't want you to get saddled with a debt.
Please don't go into debt behind your education. It's really hard to get out of it, but also exactly. After long, I'm not paying back no way. God forgave me. So I forgive me too. If Jesus can forgive me, then so can I, so, you know, whatever. No, Mari's right. Listen, this is my wheelhouse right here. You got Chappelle in his bag. Let me put my hat on.
Oh, right.
The FAFSA is the free application for federal student aid. It is a free application that literally anybody can fill out. If your parents do not fill out your FAFSA, if you're under the age of 24, you don't have kids, you're not emancipated, and you're not married, your parents need to fill out the FAFSA, and you need to fill out the FAFSA as well in order to get financial aid. They will not just use your income. Even if your parents don't live with you or whatever, if you live with your parents and they're not paying for your college at all, if you have access to them and you're not married, you don't have kids, and you haven't been emancipated, you need to give your parents financial information so that you can be in line to get any scholarships and grants from the federal government, including loans. You are not required to take out any student loans. That is a fact. But you cannot even get grant money. You can't get a lot of scholarships. A lot of schools won't even look at your scholarship application if you haven't done the FAFSA. A lot of times it's the first requirement for in-school scholarships, just in general, university scholarships. Sometimes they say, have you completed the FAFSA? So parents, if you're listening to this and your kid is saying they want to go to college, just fill out the FAFSA for them. You ain't got to go in and take out a loan. Just do your part because this kid is going to be up a creek because they can't even do the bare minimum. It's just an application. Yeah, when people start talking about promissory notes and signing your life away, you ain't got to do that. That's between you and your finances. But there is no downside to doing the FAFSA. It is a free application. Never pay anybody to do the FAFSA for you. It's free. Don't pay online. If you go to a website and it says type in your credit card information and you're doing the FAFSA, that ain't it. Free application for federal student aid. That's why it's called that. People conflate the application for the free application for, well, the FAFSA didn't give me XYZ. That's an application, baby. They're not giving you nothing. The federal loan people could give you money. You could get the Pell Grant based on doing the FAFSA. Mm-hmm. But the FAFSA is not something to be afraid of. Now, them loans, watch your back. because they are predatory, and you know, you'll end up paying them back, or you can be like me and just say, no, I'm good. but yeah, so we see him struggling with this because his friends have been accepted and they seemingly won't have any issue paying for school. ASC is $50,000 a year, and this boy has saved up $4,000. Baby, that ain't getting you nothing. That ain't even rent.
That's
you
not know, books.
Like, that's not books. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, parents, don't leave your kids up a creek, man, because this kid is in a tight spot. And his girlfriend, who is white, seems to already have this all figured out. So she shows up, and she's telling him, like, you got to get a scholarship. Like, are you getting a scholarship? Are you going to do the FAFSA? And it's very clear he just doesn't fit in with his friends. So even though he, like, looks like them, it seems like he's almost in that situation, but like looking at them through a window, Mari.
And this is the beginning of me thinking, like, do they know you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the whole time thing I'm thinking of. I'm like, okay, does she know?
And I don't think they do know, right?
Yeah. I was like, I don't think they know.
Because there's a moment when his dad drops him off and he's like, hey, I love you. And he kind of looks to the side like, okay, God, why are you saying that so loud? Like, Jesus, people might see, you know? So maybe, you know, maybe, just maybe they don't know, which is crazy. Yep. Right. He's truly passing in, you know, what we would assume is recent times. Right. And so like, very, you know, in the past, it was such a thing that you could do for protection, but he's just doing it to fit in socially.
Exactly. And like, do you understand how hard that is? Like, and I feel like in this day and age, like if you want to pass, you have to actively pass. You know, it's not like the 60s where, you know, we didn't have access to technology, but like, are these people not coming to your house? Like, what are you posting on social media? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so nobody's seen your dad drive up, or you just say that's your gardener dropping you off. Like, I don't understand that, you know, like he is clearly actively participating in, or at least this is what I feel like they want us to make us think, that he's actively participating in denying his black side at this point.
I mean, if he's dropping the hard ER as an insult, then you got to believe that at least to some extent, he kind of believes it. You know, like, the Logan Paul posters. Do you really like Logan Paul? Or is this just a big person? Like, is this a costume you're wearing? You know, like, I'm looking at you because that Post Malone poster, I was like, okay. me and Posty go way back, and it is not always good. You know, I'm not a big fan all the time. Let's just say that. So they end up getting called to the office. All the seniors in the school have to go to the auditorium for what seems like an impromptu assembly. And they assume that maybe someone has died in a car accident. Like, why are they bringing us in here at the drop of a hat? They have a guest speaker, an alumnus of this very school, Stonewall Jackson High School. We don't have to get into why Stonewall Jackson is a problematic thing, because I'm sure we will talk about it ended up like just in general. But the bigger story here is this businessman, philosopher, and Christian, Robert Shay Lee, is played by the now late, Mari, Kevin Samuels was in this show. What is happening?
What's the saying? Like, God is hilarious, and he was a comedian today. Like, that was the timing on this was just unfortunate. I definitely did a double take. I was like, oh, okay. Right. So Kevin Samuels plays this rich black billionaire or whatever alumnus.
Gotta be,
who, you know, brings all the seniors to the auditorium, and it only gets exciting from there.
Mari, I am not letting you off the hook that easy. You have to tell our listeners who the Kevin Samuels is and why he's important to this episode.
Kevin Samuels himself, or Kevin Samuels,
the character. The actor. Kevin Samuels, the actor. Why was your reaction the double take?
Well, okay, so Kevin Samuels is a well-known YouTube personality who has a lot of opinions, a lot of polarizing opinions about Black culture, Black identity, Black women versus Black men, and he just recently passed away literally earlier this week. I
like, think it was like last Friday.
It was a lot of weirdness because we were like, there were reports that he may have passed away, but then there was no confirmation for like days on end on if he actually died. And then we finally got the confirmation like a day or 2 days later. And he's a very polarizing figure. Very, very polarizing. And so to kind of just see him walk on that stage was scary.
Yeah. The death of Kevin Samuels has been such a topic over the internet in the last few days, and he was already polarizing, but his death has really brought out some of the most asinine opinions I've ever heard in my life. I mean, like, I've seen Kevin Samuels tattoos now, like people this man tatted on him. Like so seeing him here, it was a jump scare. Like, we talked about this is racial horror and stuff like that, but it was like seeing a ghost because he just passed away. And I was like, there's no reason why he would be on this episode, you know, and obviously it was filmed before, but just seeing it was like, oh, are we doing this? I got to Googling fast because I needed to know if I was tripping, maybe this was somebody else, a lookalike, you know, it just, the timing, Mari, the timing.
It was so bad.
Yeah. So bad. Here he plays Robert Shay Lee. Yeah. And he is clearly like a Branham Brothers type person. Yeah. He is like got a hair empire behind him.
He invented pink lotion, right?
Yeah. Pink hair lotion or something. And which is an iconic thing in the Black community anyway. Like you might not use it, but you know what it is. And he says his goal was to tame people's hair because it was hair as wild as Texas wildfire. Just Black hair. I've told y'all before. I've said it on many a podcast. Don't talk about Black hair. Just leave it alone. Just don't have it's the political capacity. And you don't have it. But Kevin Samuels is Black. So, I mean, he can say what he wants to say about his hair. Just don't talk about mine. It's really hard to talk about this. So Kevin Samuels Robert Shay Lee is going to try to give back to the school that he graduated from because he knows that the times that he had at the school were not always good. He also knows that the school is named after a slave owner and a horrific human, like most schools in the South, honestly. And so he wants to change the name of the school from Stonewall Jackson to Robert S. Lee
Esley.
High School. Right. An important distinction to make, Mari.
Wait. Oh my God. Yeah. One letter there away from another.
So close. Like, not to be confused with Robert E. Lee, but Robert S. Lee High School is now a thing. And he is also, so he's donated $1 million to make that happen. But he's also going to pay the tuition for every single senior in the school. Every single senior's college tuition will be paid for, Mari. And they are going wild. Everybody's so happy and so excited. We're all going to be at ASC together. Oh, I'm sorry. Did he mention that it was every Black student?
Yeah, he's who is Black. That lean-in got me like dead.
Yeah. You're like, let's be very clear. This is not for all of you. But then the Black students' reaction was so good. Like, think about the reparations episode where the Black people are like kind of in corners, like kind of like celebrating. These Black students throughout this episode are like in the auditorium dancing. They on top of the roof of the school dancing because this is a life-changing thing. He didn't say, if you're going to community college, I'm paying for you to go for 2 semesters or I'm paying for you to get a certificate. He said, I'm paying your college tuition. That means a private school education that I might not be, you know, not be able to afford, a $50,000 a year education. Like, wherever I want to go, this man's going to take care of it. And all I have to do is be Black. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Of course they reacted like this.
Yeah, it's like the inverse of Scott's tots. It's just like... it is truly life-changing, and I thought it was so amazing that we got like they looked at their phones and on social media it was like the Black students had their checks and were like twerking with their checks. Like, again, I will never ever tell Black people how to celebrate Black joy. We are constantly finding, you know, the light in the tunnel, the silver lining. Like, so seeing these kids dance and celebrate that, you know, they don't have to worry about it. It was so good to see. And, you know, this is one of those things you wish like kind of like was real and more people would do it, you know?
Yeah, we see it every now and then at like specific mm-hmm. colleges, like people will say, oh, we're paying the entire senior classes, you know, tuition or whatever. But yeah, it would be nice if somebody would like take the moment to give to some of these students that you just know would just love the opportunity to just have the bare, you know, minimum, the tuition minimum. Covered. Yeah. You know, because, like,
sorry. Well, like, you know, you're in education. It's like a snowball effect. Like, we were just talking about loans and predatory loans. Like, having somebody be able to pay off your college. Again, he said pay off your college tuition. We don't know if that's all 4 years. We don't know if it's 1 year. Whatever it is, that's basically saying they're getting a debt-free education that hopefully leads to higher possibilities in the career force that does not include a shackle when they come out of school that they have to pay back. Like, that type of freedom is like priceless, and not a lot of many people get to actually realize that, especially not a lot of Black people. So yeah. It's played for laughs here, but like, if something like this truly happened to people, this is why they'd be so happy. This is why we probably would have seen more crying, you know, like that mm-hmm. is a big deal. And it was pretty cool to see that.
Right. Cause if you catch me twerking on a desk, mind your business. Okay.
Right.
With my check in my hand, mind your business. also, I wanted to point this out because Robert Shea Lee here has a theme song. We got a tweet from @TiaTweetTweet pointing out that the song Hanging on a String by Loose Ends is playing when Kevin enters and exits the show. The stage, which, for one, I want to be that cool to where I have a theme song when I come out on stage. also, that song by Loose Ends is so iconic. It's one of those songs and bands even that like probably is like Black famous, but not famous everywhere. But the moment you hear the beat drop, you're like, hey, you know, like, it just makes you go. But Mari, what do you think about that song in particular being used as a title? Because I think Hanging on a String is very like indicative of what a lot of this episode is about.
Yeah, it's almost like a tightrope act for A.A. Ron in it. I love that song. I was like, that's why she tweeted it to us before I watched the episode. I was like, what?
This is like, thank you.
A Black classic.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. And you do have a theme song. We gave you one on the Wrestling Wrap Up.
Yes. I'm a dog.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was funny. This character that they have, Kevin Samuels doing, was really, really funny. And it moves the plot along really well. Like, you know, we'll see later, but yeah, loved it.
So everything's hanging on a string here. A.A. Ron's Blackness, his educational future, and his present sanity, because he's about to go get put through the ringer once he finds out that the plot of the episode is not, hey, how is this kid going to navigate passing? It's, are you Black enough to get the money? Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Exactly. We've talked about this. So as, you know, with the reparations, we said, you know, if people start to look at your past and your ancestry as an indicator as to how Black you are, then maybe everybody who is Black doesn't get it. And then like, how Black does this have to be? Do you have to be Black? You know, if you're Rashida Jones, you know, and you don't necessarily look like dark skin like me, do you get the money because you can directly point to your slavery ancestry? Whereas I cannot, because there is no record of the, you know, the African descendants of slavery that I come from, you know? And so a very nuanced conversation. And I guess Donald Glover said, well, hold my beer. We're about to talk about it.
Yep.
Right. So throughout, we see that the white kids that Aaron is surrounded by, they're not necessarily very happy about this. Obviously, they're being left out of this. Mm-hmm. They're changing the name of their school to this random Black man who just showed up. And they say it's so messed up. It's literally what they did to Black people in the 50s. They already go to school for free, and it's super easy to go to school if you're Black. You know, you're probably just going to go for 1 year anyway and then just go to the NBA. And I was like, I would love to be shocked by this, but Mari, working in education, I've heard all of this. Like, I've heard people sit in front of me, do the FAFSA in front of me, and me tell them, like, your parents make too much money for you to get the Pell Grant, which is the free financial aid for school, which right now is like $6,495 a year. Yeah, which, again, not that much money if you're going to a $50,000 school. Like, $6,000 a year, chump change, $50,000 a year if it's your tuition. But if I tell you your parents make $65,000 and you have one kid in the household and, you know, or whatever, then you can't get this Pell Grant, your reaction might not be great. Like, you're like, I'm not well off. I'm just, you know, I'm making it, you know, lower middle class or, you know, or right around that area. And you're like, I don't have the money for college either. Why do these poor people get additional money for school? Which is a crazy thing to ask. You should be asking, why aren't you getting more money? Exactly. Like, don't ask why they're getting money. Ask the government why they ain't giving you money. But I've had students say, well, I thought Black people go to school for free anyway. Like, someone looked at me with all of my debt and told me that. I was like, who's been telling y'all that? And also, what are you talking about? I went to school for the opposite of free. My mama didn't even have no money to help me go to school. Like, she in debt and I'm in debt. So, like, I took her down with me. So what are you talking about? But these are real beliefs, Mari.
They got real spicy, didn't it? They're like, right, this is wrong, Aaron, right? Right? And they're like, can't we sue him for discrimination? Like, first off, that's a private, like, businessman's private money. He can do with it whatever he feels like it. So if he says he can pay for these people and not you, tough titty for you. Like, sorry. Like, they got real reckless right there. And then the whole, like, they're just going to go to the 1 year and then go to the NBA. Like, my friend was talking to this guy. What is his name? Zion Williamson. I was like, what? Like, I wanted to punch him in the face. That was so stupid. Right. Like,
all Black people are not future athletes. You know, like, some of us actually just have to pay to go to school to be teachers and not make any money to pay back our student loans. You know, so whatever. but this conversation does spark the attention of Aaron, who thinks, like, oh no, this is my chance, right? Like, y'all saying Black people go to school for free anyway. Y'all are saying that this man's gonna give me tuition. If that's the case, here's the move. I gotta go do the FAFSA. So it looks like he rushes off to go either do the FAFSA or go claim the money. And so we see him kind of enter what looks like the weirdest audition for, like, a Black musical or something, because you have Black people, but you also have other people of color, white people as well, kind of hanging out doing, I guess, what you would assume is Black activities, Mari?
Right, yeah. It was like they were practicing on their Blackness. Like, we had a group of like, four dudes singing Shies. If I ever...
Mari, when that screen panned, I said, hell no. Y'all not freaking shying to this.
What? That took me out. And then I think it took me a minute to understand, like, what was truly happening. Like, they had a Black girl, like, corn rolling this white dude's hair. Like, it was not taking. Like, it was just not taking.
It looked like another fair-skinned individual had, like, the curl sponge that I use on my head. But it was, like, on his straight hair. It wasn't doing what you think it would do. And I was just like, why are we doing this? I swear, when that acapella group started singing, I had the Eastside High vibes or whatever. I was just like, if they had picked that song instead, I would have burst into tears, because that is my scene. Anyway, this was a mess.
It was funny.
But yeah, we basically have the Black auditions here, because people have to now prove their Blackness in order to get this money. And
sorry, did you see the guys who were recreating the Outcasts? Like, there are like two, they look like they're like two Asian guys. They were like recreating the Stankonia album cover.
It's like, look, I'm blackity black. Right. A man even asked for a wave check. He had his do-rag on. I'm sorry. Yep. A little boy asked for a wave check. He was a white gentleman, it seemed. And he's like, hey, check my waves, because you gotta be Black enough to get this. And so I feel like there are people who probably have some Black ancestry who are trying to make sure that they meet the standard here, but also mm-hmm. some people who are just like, look, I'm bad. I'm down bad for money. So mm-hmm. I need to get this too, because, you know, Black people ain't the only ones who have struggles with paying for school. But now it's Redbone's turn. Robert S. Lee yells, mm-hmm. hey, Redbone, you're up next. I screamed because you've been staring at Tariq throughout the entire episode. And I start to think, okay, white person, right? They call him Redbone. Mm-hmm. I was like, this boy is far from a Redbone based on what we see. I think the gray screen
helps. Yeah.
Mari, what's a Redbone?
Excuse me. No.
We're just talking.
What is a Redbone? You're from the South. You should know this.
For the listeners, Mari, I'm not saying I don't know what a Redbone is, but we know Redbone is a popular song by the Childish Gambino, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. He does have a popular song called Redbone, yes.
Yes. Mari, what's a Redbone?
Why am I being? I feel like I'm being put on the spot.
I'm driving. I'm just asking you questions. I can't ask you questions.
Jesus. Historically, like, a red bone is like a lighter passing Black person. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it has more deep roots in the South. But it's like a mixed person. It's a lot. It's just, yeah. You go.
So Mari, what's a yellow bone?
I'm done.
Okay. I will try to do this. So, like, people would probably look at like a Zendaya and probably say she was like a yellow bone. Whereas like maybe, you know, I think she's closer to that. Whereas like you probably look at like Blake Griffin, because he's a ginger.
Oh,
and say like he's probably a red bone.
That's funny.
Yeah. Both who could probably, if they wanted to, pass. But like, you know, like in Black terms, it just means you're not traditionally brown, dark skin. You probably have like redder tones in your skin and it stands out. You might have freckles or something like that. Very nuanced conversation that is just stupid to talk about. And that's why me and Mari cannot stop laughing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, so he calls for Mr. Redbone, Aaron, to come to the auditorium or to the, in front of the, looks like the Illuminati of older Black men, because
you know what? Yeah. Let me be quiet. This
random tribunal of people is like these three gentlemen that have decided that it is our responsibility to determine who we're giving the money to, because he said Blackness is not a like specifically for African descendants of slavery. It's a conversation about if you connect to the culture of what it is to be traditionally Black in America.
Right.
And the whole conversation is problematic, but it's nuanced, it's toxic, it's everything, but it is an actual conversation that people have every day, Mari.
Every single day. Go on TikTok right now. They're having conversations about it. And, you know, there are so many beats you can hit when it comes to it. Like we said, it's like, it doesn't just come down for some people, it comes down to your skin tone and what you present. Like you said, if you're not phenotypically Black, then you cannot have the Black experience in the US. That's what some people believe. You know, some people think like, oh, but if you are culturally raised Black, then maybe you are more connected to your Black roots, then you can, like, you know, be accepted Black. There are so many horrendous branches that we can go off on this, and the term of being Black enough and what necessitates Blackness. It's like, it's so mind-boggling, and it's so annoying, because it's just like, it's just so many avenues you can go down, and it's just like stepping in poop. It's so hard to get away from.
Yeah, it's like, we're fighting for crumbs anyway, and now you're going to tell me that you can't have the crumbs that I have because I decided that you're not in the same position that I'm in, you know, or that, like, I'm different from you. And it's like, it's so divisive, but there's level. The reason why the conversation is happening is because there's bits of truth in all of it, right? Like there are some people who, like Aaron, in this world, has never had to deal with those obstacles, and so it's like, why are you showing up here to claim this when you ain't claimed nothing else about being black at all? You were literally using a racial slur to talk down on black people just moments ago, and now it's like, okay, but let me go get the money. You know, conversations like that happen because there's bits of truth in all of it.
Yeah, being black as a convenience to you, you know, being able to pick or choose when you want to be black. In this case with Aaron, it's so much. It's so much.
Yeah, like there are these like fake inherent benefits to being black that are like, if you could trade those benefits in for like the natural benefits of being like a wealthy white person, it's like, of course you would, you know, like the benefits, you know, you don't want to change your identity, but people like look at some of the things that black people can do based on their phenotype or their lived experience, you know, like the N-word, we always talk about that or whatever, but that's so boring. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, like a good example is Rachel Dolezal, you know, a white woman who decided that she wanted to pretend to be a white passing black woman so that, and she worked her way into those spaces. I mean, she is one of those people where if you looked at her, people be like, you know, I think I kind of see it, but I don't think so. I think she just did enough work to where they felt like she had to be black. Like and it's hard to ask somebody like, are you really, really black? You know, like if they tell you black, you kind of just gotta go with it. And Rachel Dolezal did all the things. I mean, that woman had like Sicily's twist at one point. She was in hair shows in Atlanta. She was the president of the NAACP. Like
she went to Howard.
She went to Howard, which is like, they say one thing is the blackest thing you could do. But honestly, going to Howard is like one of those things where if you want to prove your blackness, go to Howard real quick and just put that on your resume. But it was one of those things where it was like, yeah, she did all the things. She was checking the boxes and nobody questioned it until they did. And once they did, like Aaron, you find out, oh my God, this is not a black person. And like with Aaron, it's the other way around. He's trying to pass a white word. This white woman legit was creating fake hate crimes so that she could be looked at as a black person. It's incredible the levels of conversation that these people, like we have to have around these type of people.
Yeah. And for me, the Rachel Dolezal conversation is a little bit easier because we know for a fact that she is a white person trying to pass as black. And the main crux of my issue with her is like it could never be the other way around. I could not walk into any establishment and pretend like I'm a white woman, you know. And that's the unfairness of it all when it comes to that particular situation. But it truly is like, it's exhausting, like you said, Chappelle. We're exhausted. We're tired of this conversation.
It's a daily conversation.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, truly. And then like having to prove one's blackness, either if you are phenotypically black or not. Like I one of the things on TikTok that I hate watching is like watching like these really fair passing people have to prove their blackness by standing in front of pictures of their black family members and all of that. And I'm just like, y'all can't really be out here like policing people's blackness like that, you know, while having to prove it. And then, you know, having chats about like, well, just because you grew up with black people doesn't make you black. And I'm like, for me, I'm a step towards like, if you are culturally steeped in blackness, I'm more apt to accept you, you know, if you want to say like, if you want to say that you're like a black, you know, a biracial person and you present white and you are culturally raised in a black household, I'm more apt to accept you than if you just walked off the street like Aaron did and been like, oh yeah, I'm black now that there's money involved, you know. But that's just some of my thoughts that I've looked at on the TikTok, you know, but it's just such a nuanced conversation that's not even the tip of the iceberg of what my thoughts or this conversation in general.
Right. This is a ridiculous conversation. Like, let's be very clear. Like me and Mari could be talking about this forever. And I'm not saying it's like absurd to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. I just said the amount of levels to this conversation, it's ridiculous. It's literally something that we wake up with and go to sleep with and don't even realize it. Because tomorrow, if somebody told me, no one would ever question my blackness. because of my skin tone and because I do a lot of things that are quote unquote stereotypically Black. But there are people who have my same skin tone who do not do that thing. There's probably somebody right now with my same skin tone who has a bedroom that looks just like Aaron's, and that doesn't make them any less Black, but in a lot of conversations it does. And so, you know, so navigate those as you see fit.
Yes. And if anybody knows me and knows, like, my thing is, like, Blackness is not a monolith. That's one of my biggest things that I think, like, Blackness is not a monolith. Nobody holds the market on Blackness. You know, you don't have to prove your Blackness. And again, one of the things that taught me that was going to an HBCU, going to Howard University, and seeing so many different kinds of Black people outside of the stereotypes, outside of, you know, everything that you could attribute to Blackness, air quotes, you know. So I just because that's my background, I'm never, there's certain situations where I'm just like, you know, let that person have that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's not that big a deal.
Y'all fighting these fights so people can say the N-word. Okay, I could tell. But anyway, because even in this tribunal, we get some of the most asinine questions asked to Aaron so that he can determine his Blackness. So, Mari, today we're going to play a game. Mari, what are six things that mix with Hennessy? Go.
Oh, my gosh. When I was like six,
right?
I was like, you know, Coke. I like it with Sprite, you know?
Yeah,
that works. Cran apple.
Okay, that's three, Mari. Like, look, I like this game.
But another three, I was like, I mean, like he said, meat, ice.
I mean, ice is an ice. Ice, like, look, Family Feud. Ice is acceptable. Show me Hypnotic. You know, like a good old Incredible Hulk.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Now that's Black. Here we have the most ridiculous quiz, basically, where they're putting Aaron on the spot and saying, like, if you can't answer these questions correctly or, you know, to our standard, you ain't Black enough. So he asked about Hennessy, which is absurd. Some of the other questions, one is about the police officer killing that happened, like the police officer killing that child. And they said, well, what happened when the police officer killed that child? Like, what was the situation? And Aaron, of course, goes to describe it just like he was reading a news report, like a police officer killed a child in a routine traffic stop by mistake. But they're like, no, that's not what you're supposed to be saying. You're supposed to be saying, damn shame. You know, man, it's tough out here. You know, like, you're supposed to internalize that. And that's all you could really say, because it's so normal now in the world to hear about that kind of stuff. It's like, damn, again, you know. But other questions. Mari, how long can chicken sit up on the stove? Is it Bobby and Whitney or Will and Jada? And why did the five heartbeats break up? My favorite thing to do in Black circles, Mari, is to remind people that the five heartbeats is not a real group. Like, that is a made up fictional movie, you know, but people will die on that hill.
I was like, Otis.
Like, people will die on that hill. The five heartbeats is made up. If you're thinking about The Temptations, you're thinking about another movie. Now, mind you, The Temptations is the better movie, but we don't have to get into that conversation right now. So Aaron is put through the ringer, and the outcome is that they find out that he ain't Black enough. You ain't Black, boy. That's what they tell him. But he reminds them, my dad is Black. And they say, well, if I wanted to give the scholarship money to your daddy, I would. But you are not. And so now he's offended because he thinks, I'm getting punished for being light-skinned, Mari.
Yeah. And also, can we just point out George Wallace here, the great comedian? He had me hilarious. In stitches. And yeah, like, again, we've touched on this. This is just kind of not fair. Like, this is not a fair quiz. It makes it feel like Blackness is a monolith. But Aaron did not do good at all, just because he's never had to claim his Blackness before now, you know? Mm-hmm. So do I begrudge them for, like, saying, like, you're not Black enough for this scholarship? This episode made me be like, you don't deserve it.
Maybe not, right?
Yeah.
Which, of course, is why the conversation is so icky, right?
Yeah,
because you can point to this and say, like, being biracial does not make, you know, he's still Black. Like, yeah, you know, whatever. But also, if you don't want to be Black when the money comes around, you know, and so it's kind of like, whoa, you know, so reparation would be really hard if you looked at it through the lens of the if you looked at it through the lens of Robert S. Lee and his tribunal, it definitely would be tough because they call this man off white. You off white. You ain't got no black friends, because if you did, they wouldn't let you come in here dressed like that.
He said, take this pen and go make a beat on that table.
Right. If you can't do the grinding beat, sir, I'm sorry. Like, baby,
I am so bad at music. I would have failed that. Like, I can't, I am illiterate when it comes to tunes and sounds and beat making. I couldn't do it.
Well, one of the first podcasts I did, I talked about Christmas on Big Brother. And she, every time she enters the room, she has that like Christmas music in the background. And Rob was like, Chappelle. I was like, it's a black thing. Like, it's like, it's not really beatboxing. It's just kind of like, you just kind of know how to do it. Anyway, yeah, all the things that Aaron cannot do. And so he has been told that he's been coasting on his whiteness. He's been using it as a crutch. And we know a guy like him, Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
And I just like, in my soul.
Too many things.
You didn't have to hit that man in the solar plexus like that. Mari, who's Clarence Thomas?
Why? Why do you do this to me? He is the lone black justice on the Supreme Court until, you know, Ms. Kentucky. Kentucky gets on there. And he is a noted conservative judge. He's Clarence, the Honorable Clarence Thomas. That is who he is. I will not spend any more time on this podcast because Lord knows it would be a dragging, especially with the week that he's had. Saying that I think it was apt saying that Aaron was kind of insinuating that Aaron was blacker than Clarence Thomas.
That's tough. Yeah. They said you have to call the boy Clarence Thomas. Damn. You know, right. Just know Clarence Thomas has voted against things that have wildly benefit black people and women and other marginalized groups consistently since his time on the Supreme Court. And so Claire, if it was Kevin Samuels or I guess Richard S. Lee's or Robert S. Lee's opinion to give out reparations, Clarence Thomas would not be receiving that. And I don't know if many people would. And he is as black as me.
Yeah. Clarence Thomas would vote down reparations. If reparations came to the Supreme Court, he'd vote them down.
I'm 100%
sure. He voted against affirmative action, I think.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So, okay. Anyway. So, we have to move on because there's so much more to talk about. He goes to his dad. Aaron says, Dad, this isn't fair. We should sue him because I won't get into college because he's racist or colorist or something. And his dad says, whoa, Kemosabe, calm down. Part of being black is not getting things you know you deserve. Mari, that is such an iconic statement because it's one of those things. And I think you could say that for a lot of marginalized groups. I think that part of being a woman is that as well, you know, and part of like, and part of being in other marginalized circles is like knowing that I am good enough, but people just based on my identity, don't think I am. And his dad wants him to recognize that because it seems like to this point, Aaron's never had to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like a lot of like tough love from the father, like not filling out the FAFSA, being like, ha, now you understand, which is also wrong generationally, something we need to break. But I think it was very apt that he's kind of like, well, now you understand.
Yeah, mind he'd been raising a white son. And so he like, now you see how hard it is for someone like he did, like him, like his dad. He's like, I didn't get these allowances. I didn't get a FAFSA, you know, filled out. And like, so he's like, in a way, trying to teach his son, like, this is what it's like. But also laughing in his face while he's doing it, like, sir, calm down.
Yeah,
this is your kid. Stop it. Don't let your own trauma like leak in on him. This is gross. But his new issue, Aaron's problem, is that he's been lurking Instagram and he sees that his girlfriend has been getting comments from a black football player at ASC. And so she knows he's not going to ASC. He knows he's not going to ASC. And they finally have to have their come to Jesus meeting. They got to break up because she like, I can't hold on to this dream of me and you going off to college because You're not doing the FAFSA. You haven't gotten accepted to the school. You ain't going to be able to afford it. Mm-hmm. And there are other black men like in my comments. So I'm going to have to dip. Mari, what did you think about the breakup?
Yeah, this was not my life. I did not have a high school sweetheart. So I thought it was doomed to be like this. It's always, maybe I'm cynical, but I'm like, high school relationships, oh, we're going to go off to college together. You go first and then I'll come. Like that just never, I mean, I'm pretty sure it happens. I'm not going to say it never happens, but like, I was just like, this wasn't going to work out to begin with. And I would have really kind of loved to know how she knew all of that stuff, like that he wasn't gonna be able to make it, that he couldn't and all of that. But I thought it was appropriate, you know. A lot of people break up right before they go off to college. It happens. They'll survive.
Yeah. And remember though, this football player, his phenotype is black. Like he has dark skin, I shall say. He is not what you would consider a red bone or high yellow, as the tribunal called it. And so this is a departure from what Aaron knows, because I think to this point, if we're correct in believing that Aaron has been passing and these people do not know that he is black, she leaving you for a black dude and you've been pretending not to be black this whole time, so she'd be with you, huh? Ain't that something?
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Ain't that something, right? So he's mad and he goes to burn it all down on the video game. So again, the plight of the light-skinned man is being told that you are not black enough to be black, but you're also not white enough to get the benefits of being white. Like, you have to carry the black struggle a lot of times without getting getting accepted in black spaces. And so we see that here. And it's very sad. I do not trivialize that, because I know like in the struggle Olympics, they not winning no competitions. Like, people go, like, okay, well, you mix, you all right, you know, cause just years of the way that darker skinned people have been treated, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, yeah, this is your red wagon in the pool. It just is. And we will work on it, but it's not at the top of anybody's priority list, honestly. And so, like I said, very sad, but also it's the reality of the situation. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be at the top of people's priorities, but You gotta move. And so he decides, I like burning stuff down on this game. I'm gonna go make a flamethrower and I'm going to burn down the school. Or at least, at the very least, the sign in front of the school that says Robert S. Lee. Because he is upset that he's not going to get the benefits of, you know, the same thing that his classmates are gonna get. So when he gets there, he runs into Felix, a dark-skinned individual who is Nigerian. He was born in Nigeria. He was born there and he didn't even live there long enough to remember it. But he too has been denied the Kevin Samuels / Robert S. Lee scholarship. Mari, what did you think about this?
Oh, no. We're not about to have the diaspora wars here. We are not. The fact that Aaron was like, well, I can see what he means. Culturally, you can pull from another culture and da 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 da. I was like, sir, be quiet.
Shut up. See, that's what I'm talking about. Aren't you tired? Y'all not tired? Shut up.
I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not doing this.
I was like, Mari, we gotta talk about this episode. Listen. I said earlier, there are sprinkles of truth in a lot of these arguments, and that's why the argument is never ending. What Aaron says is not factually incorrect, that this man is Nigerian. So he was not, his parents did not come from the same background as somebody who has experienced slavery and chattel slavery and the atrocities that were done to slaves and, you know, black people throughout slavery, reconstruction, and civil rights movement, blah, blah, blah.
And the
genetic
trauma that comes with
it. Yes, and the genetic trauma that is passed down from slavery. Mm-hmm. You did not have to deal with that. But ever since you brought your black ass over here, people been treating you like you black, not Nigerian, black. And even black folk might be othering you. But when you walk into the store, you black, because you don't get the chance to hide it. Like Mari said earlier, some of us don't have the luxury to come in and be like, we not black. It's not like, I'm a white woman. Like, and Felix is one of those people. So yeah. Felix is upset. And I think he should be. I'm not saying that people like that black immigrants should not get reparations and stuff like that. That's not for me to say. That's not a conversation that I even want to entertain. I know some people have that conversation daily.
Daily.
About daily. Yeah, again, daily. Wake up with this conversation. And again, not for me to say. All I know is when mine come, give me mine. Give me mine. Give me my reparations. I'm ready. I will twerk it with the check. But yeah, so we have the standoff between like a biracial person who is very much a descendant of slavery from what we can tell, who is not getting the money because he's too light. And then we have a person who is too African to be considered black. This is the craziest thing that Donald Glover has done. And you can't tell me different.
No, that is, it is truly, it truly is like the craziest thing ever. And I did feel really bad for Felix even before what happened.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I feel really bad for both of them, right? I'm like, Aaron, I understand why you would be upset, but also I kind of see what they're saying. But then I'm like, Felix, I understand why you would be upset because I kind of see, you know, like they're like, you know,
right.
I'm like in the middle, like, well, I'm fine, but I couldn't even, like, if you put me in front of the tribunal, I'm gonna answer the questions, right? But like, they, so where are your people from? Texas, you know, like, maybe. So this conversation leads to a moment where Aaron actually jokes at Felix's expense and says, you know, basically you look burnt. He basically calls him dark skin. He basically like, look, I brought this flamethrower to burn you, but you might already be burnt. And being dark skinned in elementary school was tough sometimes. Somebody called me tar baby one time and I didn't even know what it meant. And I was like, what does that mean? I'm not even the darkest person that I know by far. Like, you know, like, then I got older and people started calling me light skin. I was like, what is that? Are you talking about? Like, well, you brown skin. Cause I was like, I'm dark skin. They're like, well, you brown. Okay. You know, again, conversations that happen daily.
Daily.
It's like, you put me next to a darker skin person. Like, yeah, in contrast, I am lighter than them, but I am not light skin. I consider myself dark skinned, but people want to make sure that you know, no, you're not dark skinned, you're brown. It's a little red in there too. You know, what is that about?
It is a lot. It's funny. Because that's one of the things I kind of tease my husband about. I call him like light skinned, and he's like, I am not light skinned. I was like, well, you're lighter than me.
Right. Like, I feel like I'm in the middle of whatever that spectrum is. And then anybody, I'm on the left of, like, I'm closer to Seal than I am, like, Jesse Williams.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like if that's the color spectrum, it's Jesse Williams to Seal. No, Aaron to Seal. It's like, okay, where do you fit in? I'm definitely on the Seal end of the portion, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, is the joke is tacky. And
it's tacky,
This leads Felix to say, I'm finna burn you. I'm finna just, I gotta kill you. And so they are off. I guess they went from like roasting each other verbally to roasting each other like with a flamethrower bar. Is that what we were supposed to get from this? They firing each other up?
I don't know. I was just like that.
Your ass. Like, I was like,
they legit flamed the sign and then they started like running after roasting each other. I was like, yeah. It was weird, yo. It was so weird. I was like, are they gonna really burn the school down? Like,
it seems like that was the goal. Aaron at some point is on the ropes. Felix got his ass. His feet have been scorched. He's basically running around, just dodging him at every corner. And then he finds himself into the area of the school that we know he's not very familiar with. It's where the black people hang out. And Felix is standing on top of the building. And he, as he seems like he's about to issue what would be a probably killing blow with this flamethrower, he is shot by the police.
Do you think he was going to actually torch Aaron? Or I thought he was going to torch where the black people sat. He said,
well, see, that's the thing.
The black kids have lunch. And I thought that he was about to torch where they were lunching.
Well, that's the thing. He has actively tried to shoot Aaron with the flamethrower. Like, at some point, he even puts his feet on fire, you know? So it's like, if you burn down this school while I'm in it, you're essentially killing me. So I don't know what this goal is. I really don't know what Felix was trying to do if he wasn't trying to murder this guy.
And that was another thing. Did he light Aaron's shoes on fire? Because it looked like Aaron's hose from his flamethrower, like the gas leaked around his shoes, and then he caught fire. Like, well, I don't know if maybe Felix was the one who set it on fire, but the gas leak came from Aaron himself.
Right. So it's like, were they in a firefight or not? I guess
basically. Is, like, is that what we're doing? And I'm not trying to, Mm-hmm. I guess they were. They were running from each other, so.
Right. Yeah, he's hiding from him. Like, I almost got you, you know. So they at the very least, they're trying to burn each other, which is not great. The police show up, and of course, boom, they shoot the black man because, it's this kind of show where you're going to show that. And so he got shot. I screamed. I did. I yelled, because I wasn't ready.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that turn. And so Felix is down, but we find out later that he actually survives. The townspeople surround the school. The onlookers are there. They're all trying to figure out what's happened because Felix set the sign on fire. The school is essentially burning. And so by the time the police and the townspeople get there, we see that Kevin Samuels, a.k.a. Robert Esley, is there too. Because he has to protect his namesake now. This school is named after him, and he's given all this money. And he goes to Felix, who is on the gurney. This is the gurney, a stretcher, whatever, Mari. And he's suffering from this bullet wound. But Robert says, hey, now that you've been shot, I think you've done the blackest thing that you could possibly do. Getting shot by the police is about as black as it gets. So not only are we going to cover your medical bills, but you're also in line for the scholarship. Mari. This is a parody. This is satire.
It is satire. Yes, but exactly.
I don't even like people speaking that into existence. Like,
I know. Yeah.
That is so horrible. The joke is almost, it's satire, but it's almost, I have a high threshold for pain. But this one kind of got me. I was like, ooh. You know, and so I didn't love that, Mari. What you think about this scene?
I mean, it was satire. I laughed. And it was just like, it was like, damn, he's right. Like that is, and like you said, the moment that Felix stepped his black ass in America, like he's going to be treated like a black person. They're not going to ask you what your nationality is before you get shot. Like, it's just not how that works. So, I saw what he meant by that, and I think he shouldn't have had to get shot to get this money personally,
right?
But also
are we just letting people migrate to America willy-nilly and be like, when am I getting my reparations? You know, that's why the conversation is so nuanced. Right, it's like,
yeah, especially when it comes to reparations, for at least for here, for what they were presenting in the show for paying for the quote-unquote black students, I think he would have qualified.
He didn't come here with the intention of you paying for his tuition, you know, so exactly. It's not like this is some like scheduled appointment, like, okay, we'll move you over there when you're three, and then that way when you turn 18 some nice benefactor will, you know, pay for you to go to college. Like, that's not how this works. I also noticed that Robert says, make sure you take him to White Grady, and they say Emory. He says, no, White Grady, you know what I mean. Why are you doing this? I wonder, and I'm not from Atlanta, but I wonder if people in Atlanta call Emory White Grady Hospital, because
I think it's kind of funny because I have family there, and it's like, yeah, Grady is the hospital, is like, and then Emory is it's like, oh yeah, it's better. Okay, like, yeah, Emory, so yeah, like, yeah, that is it. So I was like, oh yep, that makes sense. Like, but I think calling it White Grady, it's still kind of like they're both bad. Like, it's like both still not that great.
Grady, but still healthcare. White.
Yeah, right. When it comes to healthcare systems down there, which I mean, period. In the America.
Right. And you know, I find that in a lot of spaces too, just like in general, where if there's something that is like not a replica, but like if you have the same business in two different areas and there's one in the black community, where black folk will call it the black blank, you know, like we definitely were like I was on the board for an organization and they're like, oh, the white one. I was like, nah, the black one. And people would know exactly what I meant. Like, go to that one, you know, like go to the black one down the street, you know. It's just like, because that's the one where the black people be at, the one that the black is in the black community, it has access to, you know, black people feel like it's accessible. And so yeah, normal stuff that we just pick up on as black people sometimes, you know. So Felix is fine now. You know, he's got to survive this bullet wound, and now he's got his education paid off. So that's great. But Aaron is in the police car watching us from a distance as Felix is getting the one thing that Aaron really wants. And it's not the scholarship. Felix just got handed the black card. And Aaron's face is just broken as the police car shuts. And from what we understand, Is he, Mari, is he going to jail?
I mean, he had a flamethrower right on school property, but I think the biggest thing is like he didn't get shot. I think that's the
yeah.
the thing. His complexion kind of saved him from getting shot. So mm-hmm. and that right there, that you didn't get shot. you're passing and right. look at you were able to do something very illegal and survive it and be able to plead not guilty or get taken away. Like that's right. that's the moral there.
Exactly. Mar, are you taking a bullet for your black card?
No. No.
Call me what you want. Just don't shoot me. No.
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty much what Aaron looked at. He literally looked at a person who was not black enough before he got shot, being now told that he was black. And a crazy conversation to have again. But a year later, we see Aaron is now moved on. He clearly has not gone off to the school of his dreams or at least we're supposed to believe that. He's talking about meeting with his PO, and the black sin is strong with this one. Mari, it is a, you hear it. It's giving big Awkwafina vibes. You know, he's leaning into his black scent. He's saying the mm-hmm. N-word. He's wearing his chain. He's rapping to the black chick. He's using the slang. He is the stereotype. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got the brush waving, like brushing nothing because his hair does not wave in that mm-hmm. way. It's just like flat hair. And he's just brushing like constantly because if you're a waver, that's what you do. Lord, I miss my waving days. But you just constantly are brushing your hair because you got to train your hair. It's a whole thing. But he's right here being the very stereotype that he's probably avoided being his whole life. He's mm-hmm. now leaning into what you would think is his blackness, right? Is what if Kevin Samuel's character here, Robert S. Lee, saw him, he wouldn't even question it. You say, I'm black. Like, oh, okay, cool. You got your chain, you got your herringbone chain on, you got your brush, mm-hmm. you whoop, whoop, whoop. Cool, you good. Very much giving big Travis Kelce vibes in a way. Yeah. Yeah. He's got the fade. You know, it's doing a lot. He got the same part I got, Mari.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I see you. But here, it's concerning because now his ex-high school sweetheart is back. And she's mm-hmm. kind of looking at him like, you different. This ain't the same guy I knew. Also, why you pretending to be black? You know, or are you black? Like, I think she's really trying. I think she realized he was black once he didn't get that scholarship. Like, I think at that point she knew. And now he's blackity black, at least from her perspective. And Mari, they say there's nothing blacker than getting shot by the police. They also, I said, there might not be anything blacker than going to Howard. But it looks like Atlanta wants you to believe that if you're truly black, you're going to holler at a white woman. And by the end of the episode, that's what this black man does. He tells her, man, you've never been more attractive. And then he turns his head, looks at the camera as the credits start to roll. Mari, what did you think about this final scene?
Well, I think it was a lot because we're assuming he clearly went to jail because he's talking about his PO and somewhere in jail, he probably had to turn up that blackness in order to, you know, survive. But because of that, he probably took some of it with him. Now he's at like a Best Buy hitting on a black girl when Kate rolled up, you know, and the girl looked like she was being a little bit responsive, it was a lot. And it's kind of funny because if you kind of think about it, him embracing the blackness and like turning up the blackness kind of puts him in a different hierarchy when it comes to being black. So it's like, so now you're black, or now you're embracing your light skinnedness. I think everybody was calling it this is Drake moment. I saw on Twitter. And it's now like, so does this propel him to like one of the top of the hierarchies for like being black? Because now he's light skinned, he got the chain, he thinks he's smooth, he's working the ladies, you know. And it's just weird. It's just a lot. It's a lot happening. And I like how people posted it's very like Michael Jackson at the end of Thriller, like looking into the camera too. Weird.
Yeah. Weird. I mean, yeah, because that's the thing, right? Who are you to measure this man's blackness? He can look like that and still go home and have the Post Malone poster and, you know, go to the Logan Paul comedy tour and all the same things that he did before. I mean, he could still look like that. Like, those things don't make him black. That appearance that he has right there doesn't make him black. The chain doesn't make him black. He's no blacker or less black than the next person because of the way he carries himself. I'd argue that like in the case of Clarence Thomas, your beliefs can make you less black. And your action toward those, you know, people. But that's me. That's, again, that's a me thing. None of this is rooted in any science because it's such a nuanced conversation that I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, Mari, about, but it's about time we wrap it up. What are your takeaways with this episode, and how do you feel that through 9 episodes, we have ventured so far away from the plot of the show that Atlanta season 3 is almost unrecognizable from Atlanta season 1?
Again, I don't mind it. This episode, probably because it came so late in the season, because it again dealt with heavy subject matter. I think I could probably say that it's my least favorite of the surreal episodes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm kind of splitting. I'm not mad at how this season of Atlanta turned out. I actually like it as like almost like a time capsule or a pocket season. Like, people have been asking me, oh, you're talking about Atlanta. Like, where should I start? Should I start at season 1? And I actually told them, like, you don't even have to. You, like we said, you can start at season 3 and listen to us and you'll be fine. And I actually kind of like that aspect of it. Like, one of my best friends was like, I tried starting from season 1. It's not doing it for me. And I was like, okay, it's fine. Here, watch this episode, and this episode. Like, I don't mind shows like that. You know, I truly, truly don't. So I've been enjoying season 3. Like I said, it's been very heavy. We've been talking so many different issues and discussions, and it's been fun. It's been exhausting, but I'm glad it's happened. I'm glad to be here to talk about it. And this was another episode to add to the bank. And again, I'm splitting them up. I'm splitting the season up. I feel like it's almost 2 seasons in one season to me. And to me, it's like all of the surreal, quote unquote, racial horror episodes versus the gang episodes. And I like them both. I truly like them both. And I'm actually fine with this, because even when we go back and we get like what's going on with the gang episodes, like, it's enough fodder. It's enough going on for me that I don't know if I would have necessarily wanted another 5 episodes of them just kind of traipsing around Europe. You know what I'm saying? Because in itself, there's not much going on that side either. It just feels like like the adventures of so-and-so going on over there. So I'm fine. I liked it. I'm liking it. I love the season so far. And I think you guys did a great job last week on the drug trip. That was such a lot going on in that episode too. I was like, this is Liam Neeson. Like, that is like legit Liam Neeson. And he is like, is this an apology? Like, is he like, he's straight to camera apologizing to us? Like, am I?
And then also not. Yeah, but then also not apologizing. Being like, but also I still don't mess with y'all. Yeah.
But then blaming us? I was like,
yeah.
Where'd they do that at? So this has been a very interesting season to me.
Yeah, I've struggled with it. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of annoying sometimes, because you're like, you have these moments, but you're like, what did we sign up for, right? When we started watching Atlanta, we wanted to know about Paperboy Earl, Earn, and, you know,
that's true.
The crew. And now here we are. We're like, what are we doing? And like, if you told me this was going to be a season of, you know, an anthology season where nothing mattered, right? If you told me from the beginning that all of these are going to be one-off episodes and they don't really matter or move the plot, I'd have been like, okay, cool. But to come in and kind of feel like maybe, you know, like you're being robbed of the story, it does kind of annoy me. But I do think, like, Mari, to your point, you could flip it and say, yes, this is an entire season, an anthology season, right? And there are random interstitials where we have the gang, you know, we have Earn, we have Paperboy, but the season is anthology. That's the extra, not the other way around. Because we do start off the first episode with the dream. It's not about Paperboy. It's not about Earn, you know? And so maybe it's the other way around. And one other thing I had a question about is have you noticed the descriptions for these episodes on Hulu?
Hilarious.
Mari, this one was called Rich Wigger, Poor Wigger, and says, black and white episode, yawn, Emmy bait. why do they hate black women so much? Mario, what?
Yeah. I don't know who's making these. It's pretty funny. I'm not going to lie.
Well, what are they getting at? Why do they hate black women so much?
I don't know. I think that maybe
over my head. Yeah, like, is it over my head?
When was like attracted to the white girl or something like that. I don't know.
Am I the drama? I think, yeah. I think maybe they're too smart for me. But regardless, that's the end of the episode. We are creeping up on the finale, and I've had such a blast talking to Mari and LaTanya. I'm sure they had a blast talking without me. LaTanya and I had a good time talking without Mari. We've been just like pushing through the season and whatever iterations we could get. But here we are at the end. Mari, what are your predictions for next episode? Do you think it's going to be another one-off, or are we getting back to the main storyline?
Looks like I think I saw the scenes, and it looks like we're getting back to the main storyline, but it looks like it might finally be a Van episode. I'm not sure.
Oh,
I don't know how they're gonna cap this.
Who is Van? Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know how they're gonna cap the season off. And do we have a drop date for season 4? Is it?
I don't know. I thought it was in the fall, but I don't know if they've officially released the actual date.
Okay. So it's going to be interesting because even before we got all of this kind of like weird anthology stuff, I don't know how you end a show like Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like, do you end it with Paperboy making it? What does making it look like for Paperboy though? Like, you know, like, so we got one more season. It's the final season. They shot it back to back concurrently, like we said. I'm looking to see if we have a drop date for season 4, but I'm just gonna kind of look like it. I'm gonna look at it kind of like it's gonna drop next year, so 2023. So probably same time around this time, 2023. So I'm just gonna look at this as kind of like the final season part one in a sense.
Yeah, and that's good with me. Season 3, episode 10 is going to be called Tarar. So we will explore that next week. Mari, where can the people find you until then?
Well, the good thing is the Wrestling Wrap-Up is back.
Yes.
Yes, every week, me and Matt Scott, we go over the highlights of the week in wrestling. You don't even got to watch wrestling. You can just come and listen to us. Watch us on YouTube because we have nice, really, really cool like pictures and stuff. And that's on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page. You can always subscribe to us by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, to like the number 2, and Matt Scott at Matt Scott GW on Twitter. And of course, at Wrestling Rehab on Twitter. So I'm so glad to be back with Matt. It feels like, you know, we haven't missed a beat. We get to talk about this crazy, wild, wonderful world of wrestling. Then also, of course, every Tuesday, me and Sarah Carradine are bringing True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP with a crime scene. This week, we're going to take a little bit of a break. So just follow us so you'll know when we get back. You can follow us at Crime Scene RHAP. That's CrimeSeenRHAP on Twitter. And that's Crime Scene, like S-E-E-N. And then you can follow me and Sarah on Twitter as well to hear what we got coming up next. Oh, go to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed to subscribe.
Yes, and I'm very happy the Wrestling Wrap-Up is back because I don't watch wrestling, but I listen to the podcast, so I know what's to keep up with. I like the drama, so I like when y'all explain it to me. But yes, you can find me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show, where I'm tweeting out links about my podcast appearances, most notably here on this very network, Post Show Recaps. Puya and myself, who host the Bel Air, a Post Show Recap podcast, got to interview the showrunners of the show Bel Air on Peacock. I was so nervous. I was texting Marla, like, what am I going to do? I don't know how to talk to these people. But it went so well. They were amazing. I cannot say enough how much you should go check that out. It was so cool. Who gets to talk to the writers of the most popular show on a streaming service? And that, I'm so blessed. And I'm having the time of my life doing that with Puya. Also on Post Show Recaps, The Walking Dead is still a thing. Fear the Walking Dead is chugging along. Myself, AJ Mass, Jessica Lise, and Josh Wiggler will be talking about that every week. I took a break last week, but I will be back this week with a vengeance to talk about the zombies. It's going to be a good time. And on Rob Has a Podcast, myself and Rob Sestanino are still talking about Netflix shows on Nothing But Netflix. So subscribe to Nothing But Netflix to keep up with that. I think this week we're going to have Mike Bloom on as our special guest to talk about the Pentaveret, the Mike Myers series on Netflix. And so check that out if you can. And then check out Silent Podcast, my other home base for podcasting, where this week myself, Gia Worthy, Sasha Joseph, and Jason Ulrich, we all talked about Abbott Elementary. And so it was a good time. Check that out. It was a blast. Follow me. Keep up with all the podcasting. And until next time, for Mari and myself, we will talk to you later. Bye.